are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
It is time for the Roundtable, brought to you by Sam and Dave's in downtown Rocky River, celebrating the 20th annual Main Event Lobster Celebration. Their famous Main Event Lobster Celebration is going on now through Thanksgiving. Stop in on Sunday and get $15 off the delicious New England Lobster Bake. You get a lobster, you get chicken, clams, cone, whatever you want. It is in there. It is delicious. It is a feast. It is one of the best deals in town. And Sam and Dave's is open every Sunday at 1, but you better make reservations now. Sam and Dave's was again voted the West Side's best seafood restaurant and best happy hour by West Shore Magazine. And remember about late night happy hour every Friday night with half-price food off the entire bar menu. The perfect place to stop after watching high school football.
As weather gets colder, as it is, obviously, even with the sun shining, it gets a little chillier. Everybody's wearing a little heavier gear. There's nothing like some lobster bisque from Sam and Dave's to kind of warm you up. That is awesome.
Last time people had lobster bisque, they went loopy on this show. It was so good.
We went a little crazy.
It got a little wild.
It got a little out of hand. But anyway, we are going to be starting this roundtable. This is Doug Deacon from the Cleveland Browns PNC Bank, Cleveland Browns Radio Network, and Tom Withers is joining us from the Associated Press. He'll be walking in here shortly. We timed this thing right up after locker room period where the media gets a chance to visit with players, so the timing of it is virtually impeccable because we start the show literally as these guys come right upstairs. So we'll start in the obvious place, Doug, the quarterback situation, and your thoughts.
Well, not the best of days once again, and repeat mistakes, the flipper throw. But
I can't believe he did that again.
But I think as you look at it, his first two throws, he kind of airmailed to the sidelines. One, he tried to make it where the only receiver could catch it. The other one was a wet ball. But then we get a couple drops, and that's the last thing a guy that's struggling needs for his confidence. And then we get some penalties. So, the quarterback is the focal point of it, and he had another bad game. But I think, overall, we had, it wasn't the best of games, I think, for the team. We're on the defensive side, for some reason we had trouble tackling Finley on the first touchdown he had. We seem to be wearing the wrong cleats. They seem to have a better idea of what to wear. And, coaching-wise, I think, sometimes we just didn't get ourselves in the right position to, make some plays.
I don't know where to find. There's a lot there. And I did talk to Brandon Whedon for a moment on the side in the locker room, and he'll be the first to admit that he's got to play better. And I wanted to ask him, and what concerned me yesterday, but what puzzled me a little bit is that if you have a quarterback who's struggling as much as he was early on, where are like those shorter passes? Where are essentially those long handoffs? Like we saw with Brian Hoyer and Josh Gordon in Minnesota, where, get him the ball as quick as you can at the line of scrimmage
and let him make a play.
Let Josh Gordon make a play. So, yeah, I think it all, obviously everything funnels kind of back to the quarterback in this situation, but I think there's a lot of other issues to discuss.
Well, Jason Lock and Fora reporting on Twitter that Brandon Whedon will be the starter again this week. I just texted with him and basically kind of said to me that's what he's hearing, is that Whedon will be the starter, but that he is on thin ice. And that, Jason Campbell could potentially come in if things go awry in Kansas City, or they may hold him off, but that Whedon is expected to start again and is on thin ice. Your reaction to that?
Well, obviously it's a nice scenario. You go to the loudest stadium in the NFL against a team that's 7-0, and you got to prove yourself. But, if you're going to prove yourself, I guess that's how you're going to have to do it. You're going to have to take on a big guy and bring him down. And I think, yesterday we saw – one of the elite quarterbacks, Aaron Rodgers.
That was a reality check.
Yeah, and, we played one of the elite teams. And, it was an elite team with a lot of people banged up. But, they just seemed to find a way to, play team football on all the phases. And that's how they end up with the good record.
And not only is it a reality test for the defense, it also – it gives you that comparison with your quarterback. And it's comparing kindergartner scribbles to a Picasso. I mean, that guy, you want to talk about a guy who can command the field at any time he wants to. And like Doug said, for them to bring in guys essentially off the street last week and still perform at a high level says a lot about the quarterback play.
The timing, Nathan and I were just talking about this. I mean, it does make sense from a timing standpoint to not expose Jason Campbell as a starter to that scenario, right? Arrowhead Stadium, the crowd noise, that team, the way it's playing, and then essentially eliminate all hope for the Browns with a lot of games still left to play. So you end up taking hope off the table if the guy ends up having a bad showing, which you're set up to almost do that if that ends up being the case. So from that standpoint, I guess that could be the thinking in it, but you're still trying to sell to a team. Let's put fans aside for a moment, and they're obviously more than they've been ready collectively for this change, and a lot of us in the media have too. But that aside, selling to players on this team, the idea that you it's a good idea to continue with this guy one more time. Do you think players get that? Do you think players would say, well, all right, there's logic behind this?
Well, I think it's to show me. You know, he's got to prove to them that he can do it. You know, you can't say anything that's, you know, going to gain you confidence. You can't act like any way to get your confidence. What you got to do is go out and, you know, produce, and that's where you get the confidence and respect of your teammates. And, you know, right now he's struggling. But, you know, by the same token, if you're a ball player, you know, you got to look at it, you know, you can't worry about him. If you don't do your own job, you know, it doesn't matter. So, you know, everybody's got to chip in and, you know, pull their share of the load.
DeQuell Jackson just spent 10 minutes down there talking about that very thing, that it's not all on Brandon. And while there's a lot of pressure on him and while he has not played well, there was plenty to blame to go around once again this week. And, you know, before we turn the Chiefs into the 1972 Miami Dolphins, I know they're a pretty good team, but it's not like they're blowing people out either. And I don't think that this, you know, hey, tough environment, loud stadium, all that. And if Jason Campbell gets the nod, he's made 71 career starts, so he might be suited for it.
Yeah, we saw Case Keenum go in there and make his first start against Kansas City. Listen, these guys are professionals. I think they certainly have the opportunity to go in there. I wonder if they're just trying to let Campbell start in a better environment when they decide to make the decision. Because if he were to start...
Do you think home?
I don't know. I'm not sure, but I know it's not Arrowhead. Because if he goes in there and they get crushed, then it's, okay, now what?
But you also have to look at when the bye week comes up.
Right.
And that, you know, that's usually the timing part for changes like that.
And let's face it, guys, we know this much too. When this change is made, it seems more like a when question than an if question. When this change is made, Brandon Whedon as a Cleveland Brown, that discussion just ended, right?
I mean,
it's essentially over. Yeah. And I think there has to be more than one move here. I think it's not only making the change and going to a Jason Campbell, but you've got to bring aboard another quarterback.
Yeah, that's puzzled me the last couple of weeks. I keep expecting them to sign somebody else for that very reason, Vic. You got to have essentially a backup plan to the backup plan, which is if you do decide to make this move, then there's got to be somebody else, because then you can't go back to Brandon Whedon if Jason Campbell struggles or, God forbid, he gets hurt.
No, you can't, and that's part of the problem. And you think you have to bring in another quarterback at that point. Who would it be? You know, that's all for speculation, et cetera. I want to talk, though, about the defense very quickly, because we talked all last week about third downs, getting off the field on third downs. Again, this week, not 44%, 54%, 7 of 13, couldn't get off third down. This is the second straight week that someone who was basically an unknown has been made to look like a superstar. Last week, Joseph Fouria, Chris Durham. This week, Jared Boykin. What's going on with this defense right now?
Well, I think the quarterback makes a wide receiver or tight end in that case. But, I mean, you got to give credit to Aaron Rodgers. I mean, he's one of the elite. If there's four in the league, I think he's it.
Of course.
And, you know, the system they have and the way the timing they have, you know, the guy comes out of his cut and the ball's right there. And, you look at Boykin, he dropped a pass early on. But, he was the most targeted receiver that they had during the course of the game. And Rodgers is one of those guys, he's going to give you that opportunity because he knows he needs those guys. And the only way that he's going to get those guys is to, keep feeding
them
the ball to, let them get that confidence.
And he's like Matthew Stafford. He seemed to be finding those mismatches with linebackers on tight ends. That was just killing them in the first half.
Poor Craig Robertson right now is getting exposed, I think. Yeah. They seem to be able to get him isolated, whether it be with a tight end or running back, and he's getting killed right now.
And the thing you see, too, that's a disturbing trend from my standpoint, is that this defense went from just smothering the run to allowing the run to at least be somewhat effective.
3.7
in three games in a row, starting with that Buffalo game, but 3.7 yards per carry, while not an overwhelmingly number that you would say, hey, that's horrendous run defense, but for this standard, for what this team had been playing, and look at the residual effect. When they're not smothering the run, they're not teeing off, they're far less effective rushing the passer. They got the pressure that they were trying to get on Rodgers obviously was not good enough. And even when he booted and waggled and moved around a little bit, he was still able to make some plays. He was still unharassed in that pocket.
What you're saying, you know, they booted him, they waggled him, and that what it does is it doesn't put him in that pocket every time.
Yeah.
And when you got a quarterback that has that kind of mobility, then it really takes a little bit away from the defense because you don't know, you know, if you're going to be – he's a guy you don't try to knock off his spot because when you knock him off his spot, he's more dangerous.
He finds another spot, yeah.
And stupid me kept looking for a way for them to bring somebody off the edge and blitz him, but like Doug just said, he's just going to make it even worse. He's going to find the spot there and throw to who he needs to. The thing that concerns me too, guys, is – I don't know whether or not now that 3-2 record and the way the defense played early on was fool's gold. I don't know if we were looking at something that maybe wasn't there from the beginning.
They didn't face Aaron Rodgers, and as Nathan also brought up, and let's throw Matthew Stafford in the conversation, but I especially focus on this one. I figured Stafford's good, but he's not Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
Aaron Rodgers is still in a different company, in a different place entirely.
Agreed.
And I think that was the reality check. They got to a point on the schedule, and as we look at the rest of the schedule, they're not going to face another guy that good.
No, very beatable teams. I agree with you.
Quarterbacks.
Quarterbacks.
I mean, and sure. That cast to me a whole new light, Doug, on the defense.
I mean, there's a reason the guy's the highest paid quarterback in the league. I mean, he can make all the throws. He can be an offensive coordinator at the line of scrimmage. And you know, you watch him go up to the line of scrimmage and the way, you know, he reads it. And that was another thing I noticed yesterday. When he got to the line of scrimmage, he had a lot of time. You know, he was reading the defense. He was making adjustments there at the line of scrimmage. And it just seemed that we got to the line of scrimmage and, you know, we had maybe 6 seconds, 5 seconds, and then, you know, the ball's being snapped. And, you know, for some reason, we've got to, you know, expedite the process because, you know, the kid needs all the help he can get.
There seems to be that indecision, and Brandon is continually looking over the sideline, making sure, is this the right play? Is this the right personnel group? And those should be problems that you should have cleaned up by now in week 7.
And let me ask you guys this, because this is one of the plays that I thought was interesting, and strategically speaking, wanted to get the roundtable's take on it. When they're down 11, they have an opportunity to kick a 50-yard field goal to go down 8. Why'd they go for it on fourth down?
Well, seeing Chris Tabor talking to Chudzinski on the sideline, it was pretty obvious that they felt 50 was beyond Cundiff's comfort range yesterday. So, and I think the conditions as well played into that. I don't know what the wind was like coming out of that end, but I didn't have a real problem with it, to be honest with you.
Well, you know, it was funny because, you know, we switched from Greg Little to Fozzie in kickoff return, but whatever it is, you know.
Yeah.
And it was like, okay, how did they know? Well, obviously they knew by the wind that the ball was going to be short and it was going to be returnable.
Right. And, you know, speaking of that, then they gave a little run to Travis Benjamin at the end, and you saw what he did as a kick returner. And look,
we've
been asking for that for about 6 weeks.
Yeah. This is that discussion about having a guy back there who is so small and this concern that he's going to get crushed. But I'll tell you what, when you're a football team in desperate need of something, he gives you something. And he might very well be the best returner in football right now. I mean, in terms of that rare speed that he has, he's moved himself into some real rare air with how he returns. So I'm wondering if it's easy for me to say, expose the guy to the hits that you've been hesitant to expose him to, but you saw what happened on his first kick return.
Playmaker.
His only kick return.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's how they got a touchdown.
Well, we've talked about this, too, several times. Playmakers need to make plays, and I kept waiting for somebody yesterday to do something. And I know that begins with the quarterback as well, but that 4th-and-15 pass to Josh Gordon.
He's got to go get that
ball. He's got to make that play.
Got to get that ball.
He's got to extend his arms and go up and fight for that because it's 4th-and-15. We need something here.
You know, he can say that all the talk about the trade isn't affecting him, but his body language yesterday didn't tell that story.
No, it's either he's being affected by the trade, he's had it with Brandon Whedon as his quarterback. There are a lot of things that are going on, but clearly something is going on Josh Gordon where the effort that I saw, and this is the second week in a row because I talked about it a little bit last week as well, has not been on the level of his talent. And for him to succeed week in and week out in this very difficult league, your effort needs to match your talent, especially when you're an elite talent like he is. And I agree with you. That 4th-and-15, especially when you watch it in full speed, it wasn't as bad. But when you watch it back in slow motion, it was egregious. Go out there and catch it. But Larry Fitzgerald goes up there and catches that ball at the peak with his hands fully extended from his body. Not even an effort.
Doug, again, you're big on, and I love that you do this, you're big on trying to get that pulse as much as you can in the locker room. And again, you can also talk with players at a level as a former player in a certain way that I think can give you some indicators. So what's your feel, and where do you see the collective mindset of this team with 9 games left? And obviously this beginning of this 9-game stretch is in Kansas City, in the most daunting of places to play.
I think, you know, they're waiting for the quarterback to step up and play. I mean, they're waiting for him to make the plays that you need. I mean, yeah, he doesn't have to be Aaron Rodgers. He doesn't have to be Peyton Manning, Brady, or Breeze. But, you know, show us that, you know, you're that next echelon of quarterbacks, at least, that you can, you know, move this offense, keep the defense off the field, convert the third downs, you know. And, you know, the third downs are, I mean, just, you know, it's like night and day. The first half, we're horrible. They're unbelievable. And, you know, it just digs you in such a hole that, you know, you can't dig out, because we don't have that kind of firepower.
And too many penalties again. I mean, the false 12, starts, the 12 penalties in total, and some of them just inexcusable.
That's been a trend, sadly. I mean, that's gone on since the preseason. This team's been a very heavily penalized team, and it doesn't seem like there's – it just doesn't seem smart. A lot of these mistakes could be avoided.
That gets back, I think, to, you know, getting to the line of scrimmage and having time at the line of scrimmage, because all of a sudden you're trying to communicate a lot of things, and you're getting down to that clock, and, you know, if you're in lineman, you know, you don't want to get beat off the ball quickly. So what do? You jump started a little too early.
All right. It's the roundtable, guys. Thank you so much. Doug Deacon from the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network. Tom Withers from the Associated Press. It's brought to you by Sam and Dave's in downtown Rocky River, celebrating the 20th annual Main Event Lobster Celebration. Please check out all the delicious details at salmondaves.com. Salmon, as in the fish, and Dave's, like Dave Logan. Check it out. And we've got much more coming up for you. You're going to hear from the head coach of the Browns, Rob Chudzinski, coming up toward the top of the hour. You'll hear from Gerard Cherry in hour number 2. Much more ahead on this Reaction Monday. We want to hear from you. 216-578-0850 of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.